بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد we continue in the readings of عمدة الأحكام the great work by الحافظ عبد الغني المقدسي رحمه الله تعالى he died in the year 600 After the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we continue reading from the book of As-Salah, Kitab As-Salah, Min Babi Al-Adhan, from the chapter of the Adhan. The author, he mentioned, and he said, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, An Abi Juhayfata, Wahb ibn Abdullahi Suwa'i, radiyallahu anhu, annahu qal, Ataytu Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi kubbatin lahu. في قبة له حمراء من أدم. The author he mentioned the narration of أبي جحيفة وهب بن عبد الله السوائي رضي الله عنه that he mentioned that I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he was in a red tent made from leather, يعني from the hide of an animal. قال فخرج بلال بوضوء and Bilal he came out of the tent. With wadu, bi wadu'in. He came out with the water of ablution. He came out with the water of ablution. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had made wudu with this water. And Bilal, he came out with that which was left over from that water that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made al-wudu with. And then Wahb, he says, Yani Aba Juhayfa radiallahu anhu famin nadihin wa na'il. فَمِن نَاضِحٍ وَنَائِلٍ النَّاضِح is يعني من النضح and this is a rush to splash some water lightly like this but what is intended has been clarified in other narrations and it has come in another wording and أبو جحيفة رضي الله عنه we mentioned فَجَعَلَ النَّاسُ يَأْخُذُونَ من فضل وضوئه صلى الله عليه وسلم فيتمسحون به that the people they started taking the leftover wudu of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم the leftover wudu من فضل وضوئه from the leftover water that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he made ablution with and they started to wipe themselves with it فمن ناضح ونائل meaning also this has come The clarification of this meaning that some people, they were taking the water directly from the vessel and they were wiping on themselves directly. And other people, they were not able to get the water directly, so they were taking the water from the people who had taken the water. And this is what this means. From in nadihin wa na'il. And nadih, he's the one who's taking the water directly. And the na'il, he's the one who was not able to get the water directly, so he's taking the water left over from the water that the other person took. Like this, and this is from the khasa'is of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his specific qualities and traits that no one is similar to him with regards to them, and no one shares with him in these characteristics and these traits, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made his body blessed, and he put blessing in him. Allah azza wa jal put blessing in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his body. And the likes, and this was known, and the companions they used to seek the blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal that was in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this manner. And this is something specific to the Prophet only. And the companions they did not do this with the best of the Ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yani Abu Bakr. They did not seek the blessing or seek tabarruk. Or make tabarruk or seek the blessing from Abu Bakr or from Umar or Uthman or Ali or any of the companions after that. So therefore, this is something that is specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam his body was blessed and his hair and his saliva and the likes and his sweat sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the things that his body touched. These things they had barakah and blessing with them and much goodness and khair. And this is from the favor of Allah. Azza wa Jalla upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is what Abu Juhayfa he saw whenever he was with the Prophet in this in this event or at this time sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then he says radiyallahu anhu qala fa kharaja an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam alayhi hullatun hamra and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he came out meaning he came out of that tent, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has a hulla hamra, a red hulla. A hulla is a garment that is new, and it is a garment that consists of two pieces, and many times this will be a garment that is consisting of an izar and a rida. An izar and a rida. The izar is the garment that goes on the bottom, like the one that the person in Hajj he wears, and the rida is the one that goes over the shoulders, and over the bottom, over the lower part of the body. That's called the izar, and the top is called a rida. And if they had them new, and if they would be together, this is considered a hulla in their time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's mentioned here that he was wearing a red one. The ulama, they mentioned that it wasn't fully red, but rather it was mixed with black, and it had red in it, because there has come a prohibition from wearing solid red. But Abu Juhayfa radiyallahu anhu, he says, كَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَى بَيَاضِ سَقَيْهِ. It's as if I'm looking at the whiteness of his shins, and he compared it to the rest of his body. But it is known that his body, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or his skin color, was a light color that was mixed with brown and red, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the whiteness of his shin compared to the rest of his body, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and even his feet, when his sandals, they're exposed to the sun. So he's mentioning this, but this is a reference to how well he has memorized this narration, and he remembers it clearly, and he remembers this event and this meeting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly, and he is describing it as if he sees him now, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قَالَ فَتَوَضَّأَ. So Abu Juhayfa radiallahu anhu, he says, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made wudu, and this is something that had preceded. Obviously, the scholars, they mentioned there's taqdeem and ta'khir in the narration. وَأَذَّنَ بِلَارٌ. So the Prophet, whenever he made wudu, he came out, and what occurred had occurred, the people taking the extra wudu and what was left from his wudu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then أَذَّنَ بِلَال. And Bilal, he made the adhan. And Bilal, radiallahu anhu, he made the adhan. And Abu Juhayfa radiyallahu anhu, he says, قَالَ فَجَعَلْتُ أَتَتَبَّعُ فَاهُ هَا هُنَا وَهَا هُنَا يَقُولُ يَمِينًا وَشِمَارًا. And Abu Juhayfa, he said, so I started following his mouth. Yani, I started following his mouth, meaning his face. Abu Juhayfa is watching Bilal radiyallahu anhu give the adhan. And he's watching his mouth go to the left and to the right. And his face is going to the left and to the right. يَقُولُ حَيِّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ حي على الفلاح. He's saying حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح. And at this time, at this part here, this is whenever he was turning his face, رضي الله عنه, to the right and to the left. ثم ركزت له عنزة فتقدم وصلى الظهر ركعتين ثم صلى العصر ركعتين ثم لم يزل يصلي ركعتين حتى رجع إلى المدينة. Then Abu Juhayfa رضي الله عنه, he says, after this, There was an anaza that was placed in the ground. An anaza is a small spear, rumhun sagir, that in the end of it has hadida. It has a point, a metal point, or metal tip or head. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would carry this with him in his travels, and he would use it for different deeds. And from that, he would use it as a sutra for his salat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this anaza, which is a small spear that has metal, a metal head and tip in the end of it, it would be stuck into the ground firmly, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use it as a sutra, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Juhayfa, he says, so he stepped up to the sutra, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed dhuhr to raka'ah, and he prayed asr to raka'ah, and then after that he continued to pray to raka'ah until he returned to Al-Madina, until he returned to Al-Madina. So this is the narration that the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the narration of Abu Juhayfa Wahb ibn Abdullah As-Suwa'i radiyallahu anhu. This is from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this event here, and whenever Abu Juhayfa, he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this was in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this was on his return from Hajjatul Wada', on his return from Hajjat al-Wada', and the place that this occurred, the ulama, they mention it has come in the narrations and different wordings of this narration, a place called Abtah. Naam, and it's also mentioned that Wahab ibn Abdullah al-Suwa'i, his kunya is Abu Juhayfa. At this time, he was a young boy, and he was had not reached the age of puberty, radiallahu anhu. And that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, even still then, Abu Juhayfa, he had not reached the age of puberty. But he had in his life, or before the Prophet died, he had met him here in this event here after the Hajjat al-Wada', and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is returning back to Medina. And so therefore he spent time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and learned from him. But likewise, what was mentioned about Abu Juhayfa radiallahu anhu was that he was very close to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and Ali, he used to have much love and respect for him. And he supported Ali and fought with him in many of his battles, and was very close to Ali radiallahu anhu. Abu Juhayfa, Wahb ibn Abdullah al-Suwa'i radiallahu anhu. So this event occurred on the return back from Hajjat al-Wada'. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was in a tent and he was resting, and then he made wudu, and then he came out sallallahu alayhi wasallam and prayed with the people. Before that, Bilal, he brought that which was left over from his wudu sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then they sought barakah from that. And then the issue here is, and the shahid from this narration is what Abu Juhayfa, he mentioned. Now Bilal, he starts to make the adhan, and Abu Juhayfa, he's watching him how he makes the adhan. And whenever Bilal radiallahu anhu, he would come to the portion Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah, he started moving to the left and to the right, to the left and to the right. So this is the clarification of one of the descriptions of the muadhin, and that which is considered a sunnah from the sunan of the muadhin, that which he will follow. The muadhin will follow the sunnah while he is making the adhan, and that he would turn his head to the right and to the left, but not during the whole adhan, but rather at this one portion here, which is clarified. Naam, that Abu Juhayfa, he said, I started to follow his mouth, meaning his face, here and there. يَقُولُ يَمِينًا وَشِمَانًا, meaning to the left and to the right. يَقُولُ حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ, meaning at this time. فَجَعَلْتُ أَتَتَبَّعُ فَاهُ هَهُنَا وَهَهُنَا هَهُنَا وَهَهُنَا. This wording likewise, or excuse me, this hadith has also been collected by At-Tirmidhi and also by Ibn Majah. It has come at Ibn Majah, فَخَرَجَ بِلَالٌ, يعني في سنة ابن ماجه, فخرج بلال فأذن فاستدار في أذانه وجعل إصبعيه في أذنيه فجعل إصبعيه في أذنيه. That Bilal, whenever he came out, he made the adhan and he started turning during his adhan, and he put his fingers in his ear. The turning here is clarified in this narration that the author mentioned. This turning is called al-itifan or istidara, that the mu'adhin it makes, it's at the time of hayya ala salah and hayya ala al-falah, and not in the whole adhan, and not in the whole adhan, but rather in this portion, in the hay and the hayya ala tain, al-hayya ala tain. Naam, and likewise, similarly like this, it has come in At-Tirmidhi, wasba'ahu fi udhunayhi, wasba'ahu fi udhunayhi, and his two fingers are in his ears. So this is another sunnah likewise that the muadhin will follow. So we have here in this narration of Abi Juhayfa radiallahu anhu that there's a mention of two sunnahs for the muadhin, and that is that one will be, the muadhin will put his fingers in his ears. He'll put his fingers in his ears. And it hasn't come in the narration mentioned exactly which fingers they are, but the ulama, they mentioned that it is the sabbaha, Awasababa, the pointer finger or the index finger. That this is the finger that the muadhin, he will put in his ear. This is from the sunnah, and this is from the way of Bilal radiallahu anhu. Al Imam At-Tirmidhi, he mentioned after this narration in his Jami', he says, وعليه العمل عند أهل العلم يستحبون أن يدخل المؤذن إصبعيه في أذنيه في الأذان that this narration, the people of knowledge, they apply this narration, and they work by way of this narration, and they recommend for the muadhin, or they find it to be recommended for the muadhin to put his fingers in his ears whenever he makes the adhan, for him to put his fingers in his ears whenever he makes the adhan. This is in the adhan and not in the iqamah. In the adhan, he put his fingers in his ears, and not in the iqamah. Although there are some of the people of knowledge who have mentioned that he would do that likewise in the iqamah, but Allah knows best what is correct, is that this is only during the adhan. So in this narration, we see that the turning of the muadhin, this comes during the al-hayya al-atayn. And this is the time for turning. And the ulama, the person, he would turn, the muadhin, he would turn to the right and to the left. But his feet stays planted in the same place, and his body doesn't turn, but rather he turns his face. The face is that which he will turn his face, and not his whole body. And this is what the ulama, they have recommended likewise. And also this, and as well as putting the fingers in the ear, with regards to the fingers in the ear, in the ears, the ulama, they mentioned, because this is makes his voice louder. So it means to help raise his voice. And it's recommended likewise for the muadhin to have a strong voice, and for so that his voice can be heard, and to have a nice voice. Likewise, this is what is recommended. And also from the wisdom of putting the fingers in the ear for the muadhin, also so that the people behind him, if they see him from a distance, they know that he's the muadhin, and they know that he's making the adhan. That man right there, that man that is, they see that he's making the adhan. And this is the characteristic and the trait, and this is the appearance and the hay'ah of the muadhin, that he will put his fingers in his ears. So this narration clarifies some of the descriptions of the muadhin and how he will look and what he will do during the adhan. And these actions, they are all considered sunan al-muadhin, that the muadhin he will follow. And the sunan, that the one who calls to the prayer, he will follow these particular ways, putting the fingers in the ear, and then whenever he comes to the hayya al-salah, he will turn to the right and to the left. And the ulama, they differ likewise about this issue, that turning to the right and to the left, will he turn to the right for hayya al-salah, and then turn to the left, hayya al-salah, and then turn to the right, hayya al-falah, and then turn to the left, hayya al-falah. Or some of the ulama, they mentioned rather he will say to the right, hayya al-salah, hayya al-salah, and then he will turn to the left, hayya al-falah, hayya al-falah. And all of this has been mentioned by the ulama, and has been likewise applied. It could be understood from this narration, because it's not clear exactly what he said whenever he turned to the right and to the left. But Allah knows best. What is better is to say one on each side. That way the people on the right, because the purpose for turning the face is so that both directions will receive the call. The call will reach both directions. So therefore, to call the people to salah on the right and on the left, and to falah on the right and on the left, is better. It's better so that the call, it reaches all of the people, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Likewise, from the sunnah of the muadhin is that he will face the qibla. Is that he will face the qibla. And we have seen that the one of the companions, Abdullah ibn Zayd, he is the one who saw in the dream the adhan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he affirmed that. In one of the wordings of his dream, it's mentioned that he stood up and faced the qibla, and then he made the adhan. So therefore, it has come, this is in Sunan Abi Dawood. And the ulama, they have mentioned likewise that they have agreed upon that it's recommended that the muadhin he should face the qibla during the adhan, that he should face the qibla during the adhan. Likewise, we have the issue that the people of knowledge they mention, and that is with regards to the muadhin in our days. And we see that now we have a microphone, and the adhan is proclaimed outwardly and out loud through the microphone. And so some may say there's no need to turn to the right or to the left. There's no need to put the fingers in the ears because the purpose of that is to make the voice loud, or to turn to the right and to the left so that the voice reaches a further distance and to more people in all directions and the likes like this. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned that rather what is best even still today is to hold fast to the sunnah and to apply the sunan, and that the muadhan, he will still put his fingers in his ears and he following the sunnah. Plus the other benefit likewise that the ulama, they mentioned, so that it's known that he's the muadhan and he's making the adhan for those who see him from a distance and the likes like this. In any case, this is the sunnah. This is the sunnah. So the believers and the Muslims, they should hold fast to that. And the muadhan, he will hold fast to the sunnah. And likewise, turning to the right and to the left. Likewise, he will hold fast to the sunnah likewise. But also, one will recognize the benefit of the microphone. And having the microphone, in reality, it aids the intent from the adhan. And this is beneficial. Because the purpose of the adhan is to announce the time for the prayer, and that the time of the prayer has entered, and that it's time to prepare for the prayer, and to come to the masjid, and the likes like this. So the fact that it is proclaimed louder by the aid of this technical device, this is something that is good and beneficial. So therefore, the muadhan will keep this in mind likewise, and although he would turn to the right and to the left, also he would try his best to keep his voice in the microphone as well. And so he will not turn extremely to the right, for example, until his voice, whenever he goes to turn on the right, his voice doesn't go in the microphone at all. And now this part of the adhan is not heard outside of the masjid and the likes like this. But rather, one will keep in mind this sunnah of turning to the right and to the left, and also keep in mind the purpose of the adhan being called into the microphone so that it can be proclaimed loudly, and that the adhan can reach the people. So therefore, he'll gather between the two, and he will make the turns to the left and to the right, as has come in the sunnah. And also, he will keep in mind the benefit of the microphone, and try to keep his voice in the microphone so that it would reach the people. And Allah knows best. Also, there is an issue that the people of knowledge, they mentioned that if the one who makes the adhan, someone makes the adhan, then who should make the iqamah? And what has come in the previous narration, we have seen that Bilal, he was ordered to make the adhan shafa and to make the iqamah witr. So therefore, what is known from that is that Bilal, he used to make the adhan and the iqamah, radiyallahu anhu. Therefore, the ulama, they mentioned that what is best and most preferred is that the one who makes the adhan, he should make the iqamah. The one who makes the adhan, he should make the iqamah. But if he did not make the iqamah, and somebody else made the iqamah besides the muadhan, then it's permissible. Then the iqamah is correct, and it's fine, and there's no blame on that person. But if it's possible for the muadhan to make the iqamah, then this is best. But if the muadhan, for example, became preoccupied, or the one who made the adhan, he became preoccupied and he was not present at the time for the iqamah, somebody else can make the iqamah in his place, and there's no problem with that, and there's no problem with that, and Allah knows best. So therefore, this is some of the sunan of the muadhan, that he will put his fingers in his ears, and he will make his voice loud, and likewise he will turn to the right and to the left, and the al-hay'alatayn, عند al-hay'alatayn. So this narration, it has many benefits. And from them is that which the author has mentioned and that which we have discussed. And clearly the description of the muadhan, and that he turns in this particular portion of the adhan. But likewise, in this narration, we see that is from the noble and good manners of a believer, that he will go to the people of knowledge, and he will find them wherever they are. And he will go to them to benefit from them, the people of knowledge and the people of virtue and the people that are beneficial to be around. He will go to them. And we see that Abu Juhayfa, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet, he's traveling. He already had completed the Hajj, and he's on his return back. And now he's stopping in this place called Abtah. And it's known as Batha. Naam. Abtah. And then He came to him and he found him there, and he searched for him, and then he came until he found him there. And this is something that the believers, they will do. They will search for the people of knowledge, and they will search for the people of virtue, and they will go to them any where they reside, into their homes or their masajid, in the lands that they live in, or if they find that they are traveling near them and the likes like this, they will go to them likewise while they're traveling, yani to benefit from the people of knowledge and to benefit from the people of virtue. And likewise, we see that also it is legislated to make the adhan during travels. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here he's traveling, and Bilal, he continued to make the adhan. He continued to make the adhan. So therefore, even whenever one is traveling, the adhan is still legislated and prescribed. The adhan is still legislated and prescribed. And likewise, we see from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would pray to a sutra. He would pray in the direction of a sutra, and he would put a sutra in front of him. Even some of the narrations, it's mentioned that the people and the animals, that he's seen the people and the animals passing in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in front of the sutra, yani behind the sutra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, so that's the purpose of the sutra, that whoever passes yani behind that, it will not harm the prayer. It'll be a means to protect his prayer and keep it safe from those who are passing by, from the people and from the animals and the likes like this. So therefore, this is also a great sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these issues will come, inshallah, in this chapter, the book of As-Salah. In the book of As-Salah. Likewise, there's the issue of whenever one gathers the prayer, and meaning he makes the jama', he prays two prayers together. For example, he prays Dhuhr and Asr together because he's traveling, or because of the weather and the likes like this, or because of a legislated excuse, he gathers and prays Dhuhr and Asr together, or Maghrib and Isha together. Likewise, in this instance, it's legislated to make the adhan, but only one time. There will be one adhan and two iqamas. There will be one adhan and an iqama for each salah. And this has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise in Hajjatul Wada' on the day of Arafah, and also on the night of Muzdalifah. In the day of Arafah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed Dhuhr and Asr together, and he made one adhan into iqama sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then whenever he went to Muzdalifah that night, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they prayed Maghrib and Isha together with one adhan into iqama. This has come authentically in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, the people of knowledge, they have mentioned also similar like this, the one who missed more than one prayer. If he missed a prayer as well, if one missed the prayer, we have seen that prayer in the hadith of Abi Qatada, whenever they slept and they missed the fajr, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Bilal, he made the adhan. And the Prophet, he prayed the sunnah, and then he prayed the fajr after the time had already passed. So therefore, we see likewise that it's legislated for the one who missed the prayer. The one who missed the prayer, and he didn't pray it in his proper time for some reason. Then likewise, it's legislated for him to make the adhan as well. And also, if one missed more than one prayer, and he had to make up more than one prayer, then he will make one adhan and make an iqama for each prayer. And this has also been mentioned with regards to the day of Al-Khandaq, and has come in the sunnah of the Prophet, and Allah knows best. So these are some of the sunan of the Mu'adhin, and some of the beneficial rulings that have come in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to the adhan. And after this, the author, he mentioned the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar with regards to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had two Mu'adhin. He had two Mu'adhin in Medina that would make the adhan. And we continue in the next class, inshaAllah ta'ala. Hatha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.